This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Dave Lee will join us this half hour to talk about his event tonight. And chocolate-covered peanuts. That's still to come. Joining us now is CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline, Mark Wick. High school hockey coach, but much bigger than that. And what he's doing now. To try to help really save lives. Mark, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me on, Mike.
Mark, let's start with your story. Why you do what you do now and what is it you do now and how you came here. Explain where your life was going, what you were doing, and how you ended up here.
Well, I've been a college hockey coach for 30 years. Most recently, I was a head coach up at St. Scholastica in Duluth from 04 to 18 for 14 years up there. But one of those seasons I had to take a leave from the team because I deal with depression and anxiety, or I should say I wasn't dealing with my depression and anxiety, and it forced me to make a change. After I was let go up there in 2018 and started to talk about my story and share, I just felt the need out there for athletes and people to understand that they're not alone. And there's a lot of people that that feel this way and that are struggling out there, and we just wanted to let people know that there's hope. So for the last couple of years, I've been touring the country talking to teams, colleges, athletes, staffs, just about depression, anxiety, just about what's out there, what we're dealing with, and, you know, hopefully giving people hope and sharing my story and encouraging people to get help if they need it. So that's what I've been doing for, you know, the last few years. I still continue to coach. I help out over at Augsburg University. But primarily, it's just to share the word about mental health and hopefully normalize mental health and allow people to start to have the conversation about it.
So, Mark, if you were looking, let's just say for an athlete or a student that you're working with and you'd say, oh, they've got a problem. In other words, this is beyond they're just depressed or frustrated for a day or a week. What do you look for? How do you begin to study and ascertain whether or not they would qualify as someone that needs real help?
Well, I think that the more we get to know our athletes or the people around us, we see those behaviors. And I always say, you know, once it begins to affect their ability to live, laugh, and love, then I think they should talk to somebody about it. You know, if it's coming in a way with relationships or motivation to get up in the morning or those types of things. Because there's times we're going to go through, and I need to make sure people know I'm not a therapist, a doctor, psychologist, psychiatrist. I don't diagnose or treat people. But I think if we're aware and we watch people, we will notice signs. You know, we're really good at the physical signs. You know, if we see somebody, you know, get hit in the nose and they're bleeding or, you know, something like that, hey, we know they need help. But we also can see from behaviors. If, you know, there's changes in behaviors and, you know, we see people that become disengaged, or a lot of times on the athletic side, it's, you know, anger outbursts and irritability and those types of things that affect just the way that they live and affects relationships and stuff like that. It's worth having a conversation and maybe directing them to get some professional help.
Is there a, you know, just based on what you lived and the people that you know that have confided in you, and there have been many, many, many over the years, are there common denominators as to, I mean, was there an age range where you think it developed for them or something that happened to them in their life that was traumatic? Was it gradual? How do they get to that point?
That's a great question, and it can be all of those. You know, it's young kids, it's, you know, it's older adults, it's athletes in between. It can come from trauma, but again, trauma can be different for different people, or it can just be a genetic composition, you know, or anything like that. So nobody's immune to it, and that's the one thing that I've said. It doesn't discriminate, but one of the common denominators is when people are going through it so many times, they feel like they're alone. They feel like nobody gets this. When yet we look at the statistics, and you know, 1 out of 4 people are going to deal with something like this, you know, or be affected by this. So, you know, they're not alone, but that's the feeling that we have. And then that hopelessness comes, and then we start to isolate or make stuff up. Because one of the things that we hear so often when people die by suicide is, I would have never expected that person. I would have never guessed that person. Well, the people that live with it, like, we get really good at hiding it because, you know, there's shame, there's not understanding, there's judgment and all that type of stuff. So I think one of the things is people just feel like nobody gets it and that they're alone. And hopefully, you know, through conversations and stuff, they'll realize they're not. And it's okay to have that conversation with somebody. It's okay to talk to somebody about the way you feel.
So it's possible that you could work with somebody side by side for years and they could suffer from depression and you have no idea?
Absolutely. When my story came out, our women's volleyball coach at St. Scholastica, she was one of the first people I talked to. She called me and said, Mark, I've known you for 20 years. I would have never guessed you had depression because we hide it from certain people, yet we show it to the people we're closest to. My wife, my kids, my team, they saw those behaviors in me. But with other people outside of that, behind closed doors, you know, I was honest behind closed doors, but when I got out, everybody else, I put on this persona. I put on this mask. I put on this front. So absolutely, you can be next to somebody and you will never know. Because, again, that's where we have to have that conversation. We have to open up dialogues about mental health. We need people to know that it's okay to talk about it. Because if you have it, a lot of people get very, very good at hiding it. And it takes a lot of energy.
Did your team, I mean, when it manifests itself in front of your team, did they just think, oh, coach is just going off, or coach is, he's always getting angry at little things? I mean, is there a part of it that could have been seen as, well, that's the way you coach?
Well, I was in the perfect profession to hide that because I wasn't the only coach that hollered at people. I wasn't the only, you know, coach that hollered at refs or acted that way. And again, I think as a male, like, that is, I used to always consider that competitiveness. But it got to the point where I didn't really control it. I maybe didn't want to holler at the refs. I didn't want to holler at the players, but I did. You know, I didn't want to be, you know, short with my family, but I was. You know, so since I didn't control it, it controlled me. And then I think looking back, all the guys would say, you know, and they even said in post-meetings after I came out and shared with them about my depression, it was like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, you know, cross campus, I was a great guy. I got in the locker room, I was this guy. Unfortunately, that's been kind of in sports. So it does get accepted and it doesn't raise a flag. I always say, if my wife acted that way at work, she'd have been fired.
Yeah, yeah. You got permission to do things you have no other place you have permission to do is when you're a coach, for sure.
Yep.
Now, what do you think caused yours?
Well, I think there's a lot of things. You know, I think growing up, you know, it's never feeling good enough.
Yeah.
You know,
I would bet that is one of the number one things, that no matter who you are, what you've achieved, if you don't feel good enough, it doesn't matter, right?
Absolutely. Yep. And again, we put so much pressure on kids now to achieve. And now you throw out there, and I don't want to sound like the old guy, even though I am, but social media.
Yeah.
When I talk to college kids, I tell them, you know, social media, that's a 365-day Christmas card. You know, if somebody's in a bad spot and they go on social media, all they're going to see is how good everybody else is.
Yep.
You know, you think back, nobody posts, you know, this guy will post on social media, hey, I had a, you know, triple-double tonight as we beat so-and-so.
Yep.
Nobody puts on there, I was 0-6 from the free throw.
That's
line,
right.
And I fouled out in the first quarter. Like, we don't want people to know that stuff.
Yep.
We want them to think that we
didn't get in the game tonight, you know. Yeah, nobody's going to write that.
Absolutely. So if you're in a bad spot and you go to that social media, you see how great everybody else is doing. And that just supports your feelings of inadequacy. You know, so, you know, those types of things, I think, are having a huge effect on society. You know, not just the younger kids, but, you know, especially the younger kids that are so wrapped up in Twitter, Instagram, sure, Snapchat, those types of things, and see how great everybody else's life is, when really it's not.
My last question.
That's what people want to portray.
My last question to you along those same lines is, do those same people that post something that they did that's great, do they have some of the same tendencies, anxieties, possibly depression, because they need someone to say, oh, that's awesome, congratulations, oh, what a beautiful picture, oh, you're great. You know what I'm saying? In a strange way, do they have the same need?
Well, I think that's where we get some of our validation. Absolutely.
But that's a terrible place to get validation, you know, if you can't do it internally, you know?
Absolutely. You know, but that's kind of the fight. And until we get out of that and can talk to somebody and get it out of our head and share it with somebody and then get stuff back, you know, that's what we need to do, is just to have those conversations. So hopefully we can build conversations and you know, normalize this so people can talk about it and they feel comfortable talking about it.
Yeah, and I can't tell you people that I know that have accomplished so much that are, you know, maybe mild depression or something like that, but you're going, how could you? And they go, it doesn't matter, because I don't feel like I'm good enough, or like I, you know, there's always something better. It's amazing. Mark, thank you so much. Hopefully we can do it again sometime soon, but thank you so much. And during Suicide Prevention Month, you're just inviting people, right, to access, to look into, and to try to get healthy.
Yep, let's raise the awareness and have the conversation about what's going on out there.
Appreciate it, Mark. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. You have a great day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.